from the home of the Packers. A look at the game through the player's eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside this guy right here. He's got some nice pipes, Don Barclay, stopping by the show today. Obviously, a big win in Chicago. Chicago did a lot of talking. You guys did a lot of playing. What was it like on the football field going to get up against your rivalry?
You know, it was a dogfight out there. I mean, you know, talking to the older guys, you know, every time you go play them towards the end of the year, it's going to be a dogfight, and, you know, every play counted. And, I mean, you know, we came out on top, luckily, and, you know, it felt good to win that game.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of the veterans told you, like, you know, we're playing the Bears, right? There's a big rivalry, the oldest rivalry in the NFL. Did you get up? Did you have to get amp up a little bit for that Bears game?
Yeah, I really didn't have to get myself amped up. I was already amped up a lot, you know, it was a big game. We had to get that to clinch a division, and, you know, now we're looking to improve our seed.
Pepper's got a kind of a big shot on your quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and he was down on the ground, right? I mean, you guys remember that. Do you think it was cheap? I mean, what did you think about that play?
I mean, the one he got a penalty on?
Yeah, the one he got a penalty on. He was laying on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, one of those head-to-head deals, and, you know, you got a penalty for it, but we try to avoid that, you know, being on the O-line. And, you know, less hits on Aaron, it's obviously better, and let him make plays.
Because 12 can kind of win the game for you, right?
Oh, of course.
Now, what's it like being the NFC North champs and doing it in Chicago? It's got to be a nice feeling, especially for a guy like you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great feeling, you know, for my first year and, you know, to accomplish that with these guys in the locker room. And, you know, I've never felt something like that before, obviously, my first year. And, you know, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, like picking up a nice block there, helping out. I mean, you're not even supposed to be here, man. You're an undrafted free agent. You're one of the four that made the team. What was it like when you decided, and why did you decide to come here to Green Bay?
You know, talking with my agent, you know, he thought this would be the best place for me. And, you know, after looking at all my options, I didn't have many. But, you know, I thought, you know, as long as I got an opportunity, and, you know, I could hopefully open some eyes and make a squad.
Now, nobody knew who you were, okay? Went to West Virginia. You show up. You know, you barely got a name. And what's it like trying to make a football team, like, you know, the championship team like the Packers, when nobody knows who you are on the offensive line? I mean, you got to try to show out each and every play. You can't take no plays off in training camp.
Yeah, and, you know, coming to a club like this, you know, it's obviously special. They got tradition. They got great players. But, you know, if I can make it here, you know, that'd be special. And, you know, I knew it was going to be tough coming into it. And, you know, I was willing to go through all the hard work, and it paid off.
There you are right there in training camp taking on Mike Dennis. What do you think helped you out? What made you make this team? I heard you got a nasty streak. You seem like a nice guy to me. You got a big-time smile. What helped you make this football team, you think? The fact that you could play multiple positions up front?
Yeah, I think that played a role. You know, it helped me out. I played some guard and right tackle through camp and preseason games, and then, you know, going out and performing every day, you know, getting better. You know, my first day I came here probably wasn't pretty, but, you know, each day I improved, so that helped.
There you are getting spot shadow right now. I want you to be honest with me. When you got into the huddle with the NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers, were you a little nervous in the huddle for the first time?
You know, I was excited to be out there just because it was, you know, my first time on offensive plays. You know, I was out on special teams before, but, you know, you're nervous a little bit, but once you get that first series out of the way, you know, it's a lot better.
All right, that's Don Barclay. We got more with him coming up in the next segment. Doing it strong for us on Inside Lambeau. We're in a Pirates jersey?
Yeah, they got to represent. Even.
But they got no game, though.
Hey, they will.
We'll be back with more of him. All right. Welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm alongside Don Barclay. Surprised everybody by making the Green Bay Packers, and he also got a chance to start. I mean, you get your first start. You play a little bit in the Vikings game. You get your first start against the Lions on Sunday in the NFL. You were a little nervous, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing might have been, you know, doing the whole TV thing before and running out. But, you know, once I got out of the way, you know, it was kind of game on from there.
Yeah, because you noticed, like, leading up, when you're the starter, you got all the cameras in your face. Did you get some good questions? Did you get some bad questions? What was it like leading up with getting the start?
You know, it was good. That whole week of preparation, you know, it was kind of up in the air, the whole thing with TJ coming back. But, you know, once I finally found that out, you know, that I was going to start, you know, that you know, you kind of got going mentally, and then you're getting yourself ready even more.
What'd you think about Ndamukong Suh? What'd you think about that guy?
He's a good player.
You don't think he's cheap?
You know what? I mean, you know, he does have a couple plays, you know, where you question him.
He got more than a couple.
You know, he's got a couple, but, you know, one thing I will give him credit, you know, he goes to the whistle. I mean, and, you know, he's intense and, you know, has passion for the game.
Yeah, you got a chance to start against the Lions. How much support have you got from your family, and have they been to Green Bay, and how much has your family played a part in this?
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, you know, I get calls every day, every week, you know, and they actually came out for my first start against the Lions, and that was special, and they're coming here for Christmas, so they support me a lot.
So, but people don't realize your family and your close friends have really helped you get these through this, because, you know, you aren't supposed to be on this show. You're not supposed to be on the Packers. You shocked the world making the team, right?
Yeah, they got me here to where I am. You know, just growing up, you know, my dad taking me to sporting events, my dad taking me to practice, working with me. I mean, he got me here.
Yeah, and West Virginia is a place where you went and you started there. How much did that college life help you getting here as far as confidence and getting your footwork down? And being a better player?
I think it helped me a lot, you know, playing left tackle. You know, you face probably some of the best athletes in the D-line.
I mean, you look better in college. And,
a little bit smaller.
Yeah, you look a bit smaller, right?
But, you know, I face a handful of decent guys, and I think it definitely got me ready. And, you know, I had a great time while I was there.
So you got to thank our producer for showing you some of them pancake blocks. Yeah, I think you look a little bit more. Did you work? I mean, one of the things you want to get better at, you want to get stronger at, because you're going to have to get stronger to play on Sundays in this league, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I worked out a lot. You know, obviously we have to in college there, but I think the biggest thing was, you know, my off-season lifting where I trained at after my college career, and I think that kind of got me ready, kind of got me into this type of workouts here we do, so it went real well.
Yeah, you had some guys that on your team that got drafted into the NFL, and you kind of sat around. It must have not been too fun, you know, waiting, watching all the rounds go by and not hearing Don Barclay getting picked up.
Yeah, that was rough, you know, but the whole thing was, you know, my family was there at the same time, and I, you know, they kept telling me, you know, you get your opportunity, and that's all you need at this point, you know. I mean, it would be nice to get drafted, you know, get that status or whatever, but you know, now that I made it, you know, I can just go from here and make it better.
You say status. I think one thing I looked up is you only got a $2,500 signing bonus. You hear guys getting $1 million and $2 million or, you know, 14, 10 guaranteed. $2,500, man. What can you do with $2,500? What'd you do with yours?
I was living off it.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it wasn't much. I mean, but I knew that coming into it, you know. If you didn't get drafted, it wouldn't be much, and even if it was a late round pick, you wouldn't get much anyway. But you know, I was willing to fight and you know, make it down the road. I mean, you know, at this point, people say it's about the money, but you know, you got to have passion at this point about the game, and I think I do.
Yeah, I'm looking in your eyes. I think you do got that mean streak. All right, Don Barclay, we got some more. We're going to talk about a little bit about what's going on in his life coming up in the third segment with Don Barclay. Stick around, folks. I like this guy. And welcome back to Inside Lamb. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside Don Barclay of the Green Bay Packers. He's a starter now and doing a really good job. And let's talk about where you're from. A place called Cranberry. Is that like something you bring around Thanksgiving? What was it, outside of Pittsburgh? Like,
yeah,
what
it's
like
about,
growing up for you?
About 20 minutes outside the city. You know, it's just, it's not like a country area, but it's not really a city area. It's kind of in between. And, you know, I grew up there. My parents grew up from about 15 to 30 minutes out around the Pittsburgh area. So, you know, I grew up my whole life there, you know, kind of got the, people want to call it hard working mentality or whatever. And
a steel mill mentality,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So.
Yeah, but when you started playing football a little late though, right?
Seventh grade.
Why'd you wait to seventh grade? Why? No Pop Warner for you?
Couldn't make it. I was too heavy.
You were too big to play Pop Warner? Are you kidding?
Nope.
What happened?
I would have to play like 2 or 3 years above my age limit just to make the weight. I mean, I wasn't like a fat kid or anything, but
sure?
Maybe. But, you know, my mom just didn't want to make me lose like 20 pounds at like 8 years old or something like that just to make Pee Wee football. So I just waited to seventh grade, and, you know, that was my first year. It went well, and each year it just improved.
So he went to Pee Wee football, and they got on the scale. It's like, nope, yeah. You're out. That's how
I never even stepped on the scale.
Because you already knew, right?
Yeah.
They talk about you're about to get married in March. It's a big step for a guy.
Yeah, I'm real excited. You know, we met in Morgantown, West Virginia, and that's where we're going back and having the wedding. A bunch of family and friends. It's going to be a big wedding. So.
How about inviting the crew when you get married?
Yeah, of course. Everyone's invited.
I like to ask us, who asked who out first? Like, who saw who first?
Well, she was actually an athletic trainer for...
that was easy.
So, at first, we were just friends. I mean, you know, we'd go over people's houses and just hang out. And then, like, you know, we probably were friends for about a year until we started dating. And she got out of the program. But she's from, like, 10 minutes from there. So, you know, we just started hanging out, and it went from there.
And now you're about to get married in March. Now, she does all the cooking in the house, because I don't see you got no cooking skills with those hands.
I can fix it up.
What can you fix up? When's the last time you cooked?
I'm the grill master.
Oh, you just throw the steak on the grill and just light the fire.
You got to cook it good, though.
Do you marinate?
Oh, yeah.
So you got a few little skills.
Yeah.
Got Tennessee Titans coming in town. What are you looking forward to in this game? I mean, you guys got a lot to play for, even though in your playoffs you got two games left.
Yeah, you know, these two games are big. You know, they can improve our seed. You know, Tennessee is a good team. The record might not show, but they got some great athletes, great players, highly rated players. So we got to focus this week and get this win.
And you're growing up each and every week on that football field. How much does it help you that you are in that starting role each and every week growing up?
I think it helped me a lot. I mean, you know, getting that experience, you know, getting a couple of starts under my belt and getting a lot of action. I mean, it definitely helps you.
You know, you get playoff checks, and I got a chance. You get playoff checks, and I got a feeling it'll be a little bit bigger than that little signing bonus you got, right?
Yeah, that'll be nice. Yeah.
All right. Don Barclay of the Green Bay Packers, thanks for stopping by on Inside Lambo. We got another guest. Yeah, we got to patch some things up. Tyler Dunn coming in the house after the break.
To Rodgers, steps up against the rush. Now scrambles, looks for running room, buys time, throws it over the middle. Cobb is there. He's at the 40. Slipped to defender 45. Out to the Green Bay 48-yard line. Aaron Rodgers doing a Houdini routine in the offensive backfield.
They call it the Houdini routine. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Inside Lab. I'm your host Rod Burks, alongside Tyler Dunn. We love to call him T Dunn. Welcome back after last week. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to be back.
All right, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and that Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb, 115 yards against the Bears. This guy, we've been talking to him week after week. Mm-hmm. Rodgers trusts him. He is playing above his years right now.
I think he's kind of ascended from utility guy that does a little bit of everything to the go-to guy in this offense, the go-to receiver. I mean, he's getting the most targets. He's making the most plays. And you saw that play on there against the Bears where Aaron Rodgers was kind of running around needing to make something happen. And that's kind of when he's at his best. It seems like when he's running around trying to make something happen, it's usually Randall Cobb on the other end.
You saw that catch right there by Randall. That's a big-time catch right now. Another guy who had a big-time game was James Jones. 3 touchdowns. First time in his career. This guy's in his zone. I mean, you got to put this guy in the Pro Bowl.
Full repertoire on those 3 touchdowns, too. Right. I mean, you had the back shoulder throw. You had the slant where Rodgers looked one way, came back the other way. And then you had him just burning a cornerback right off the line. I mean, he's coming into his zone. Up until a couple weeks ago, the guy didn't even have a drop.
Yeah, that one drop, it was like an easy pass he should have had. Another guy who's playing well is Jermichael Finley. Jermichael Finley, these last 2-3 weeks, really stepping up his game, making big plays, holding on to football. Maybe that's what the Packers want to see from this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's really coming on these past couple weeks, like you said, and I think against the Bears, you saw him make a big play down the field where against these cover 2 defenses, against any defense, really, I mean, that middle of the field is open at times, and Rodgers had the trust in Jermichael Finley to drive it down the field, and he made a play. I think that this is really big for the offense to have everybody kind of clicking, and once they get Jordy Nelson back, we'll see how everybody kind of fits together.
You know, Finley's such a specimen. Is that one? I mean, everybody's always got something to say about Finley. Is that one of the things where he's just got to zone out and just play football and just stay to his game and just hold on to football?
Yeah, I mean, the argument is, well, they won a Super Bowl without Jermichael Finley, and I get that. They did. But they also are a totally different offense with Jermichael Finley because of the size, the athleticism, the speed, everything he brings. I mean, defenses are still prioritizing the guy in the red zone. You saw the Bears kind of tilt 3 defenders in his direction on the Jones touchdown. So he's still a big factor in this offense coming on at the right time.
And it seems like Rodgers is going to him a little bit more often now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, early in the season he had some drops and he just went away from him. And it's hard to kind of fault Aaron Rodgers for that. Jermichael Finley wasn't making the big plays early on in the season. Now it's kind of coming back the other way. We'll see how everything kind of works together here.
Now, we're talking about some people that have been catching the ball. They didn't catch that ball on that trick play. Now, when that play was called, we were all in the press box in Chicago. We were like, wow, this could go or this couldn't. Or guess what? He didn't hold. Jeremy Walsh didn't hold on to the ball.
You're a Buffalo guy, too. I think the Bills kind of wish it went that way against the Titans, back in the day. You know, this is a play that the Packers have worked on in practice for a while here, and they had the confidence in it. But look, the timing of it is terrible. You're in total control. The Bears are doing nothing on offense, and to take a colossal risk like that, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but Mike McCarthy's been making some great calls on some trick plays, but Ross should have been able to hold on to this ball. And if you ask me, it seemed like he had a little bit of a wall.
He did. Sean Slocum said that he liked the pass by Cobb. He thought that was good and that it had some potential to work. But still, I know if it's worked in practice and you want to unleash this new weapon in an undrafted guy out of California that hasn't touched the ball all season, I get it. But it's the timing of the situation.
I see a lot of Bears on this side of the field. If he might have hold on a ball, it might have been a nice break. We'd have been talking about how great the play was, right?
I don't know, Rod. I just think you don't call it that situation.
Okay, I do agree. We got some more with Tyler Dunn coming up in the next segment. He's going to bring it strong. Guaranteed. Welcome back to Inside Lambeau with Tyler Dunn, T-Dunn, as we like to call him. You know, it's been a rough, rough season for Mason Crosby.
It has. One
of the best guys in the locker room, one of my favorite guys. I love him, but he missed two more field goals in Chicago.
Right.
What do you think it is? It's not a mechanics thing. Is it now a mental thing? I mean, this guy can't buy a break. Wide right on a 43-yarder and then left on a hit the goal post on the other one.
It's got to be a mental thing at this point. I mean, at this point in the season, as the misses continue, it has to be. I mean, last year, the guy talked about how focused he was on and off the field, and that's why he had that long streak of made field goals. Now it's the exact opposite. You saw him on that second kick. He ran right onto the field.
Right.
He wanted it. He wanted the pressure moment, and he missed it again. It's kind of baffling at this point.
You know, I kind of felt bad for him because, you know what, they clinched the NFC North title. Everybody's coming into the locker room. I'm outside. Everybody's got smiles on his face, except for that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just got to feel real bad right now because, you know, he's probably fighting for a job. I mean, Mike McCarthy's standing by him, and I don't know what the locker room's where the locker room is at, if it's divided or whatever, but it's getting to a real crucial point now because it's playoff time.
Right. Mike McCarthy's standing by him. Teammates are standing by him. And look, this is the overall philosophy that the Packers have. They stick with their players through the good, through the bad. I mean, you saw it with a guy in Justin Harrow who has four injury-ravaged seasons. They stuck with him. Didn't work out. You see it with James Jones. He had all those drops in 2010. That worked out for the Packers pretty well. So this is the way they do business. Now it could cost them a game in the playoffs. I mean, Mason Crosby missed a kick against the Colts. That was a long one, but they won those games at Detroit, at Chicago, but those missed kicks really could have gone back to bite them. For better or worse, he's their kicker from here on out.
All right. Another guy who's back in the lineup and playing well is Sam Sticky Shields. 3-7, he can play. He's got a lot of speed. How much is he helping his defense out with Charles Woodson out?
Well, it's big when they have the game plan against a Brandon Marshall and against Calvin Johnson. You're tilting extra attention their direction because Sam Shields is out there on Alshon Jeffrey alone.
I know.
And Alshon Jeffrey had three offensive pass interferences, zero catches. Big day for Sam Shields. And he's coming on when they need him to come on.
Yeah, he is playing some pretty good football. What about DeJuan Harris, the running back?
Mm-hmm.
I know some fans want to see him. They love his story. He's a guy. He was a practice squad player, and he's on, you know, he's on a big boy roster now, and he just seems to just move the pile.
Yeah.
Should they be playing him a little bit more? He's just a different. Look at that stiff arm. 2-6 getting something.
I think so. I mean, you didn't see DeJuan Harris touch the ball until the second half. I mean, he really wasn't a part of the offense early on in that game against Chicago, and he's a short, violent runner.
Ooh,
and
that was he trucked that dude.
And talking to his running backs coach at Troy in college, I mean, he said that this guy is a quote-unquote violent runner. That's his style. That's what he brings. And it's a little deceptive because you look at him in the locker room, out on the field, doesn't look like that big of a guy. But, you know, I think he packs a lot of punch. And the Packers have to figure out, how do you use all these running backs?
Right.
Alex Green, his numbers weren't there, but I thought he had a good game against Chicago.
I thought he had a good game,
too. He ran downhill.
He's holding on to the football.
And so he needs his touches. Ryan Grant, I mean, he's a closer. He's getting a little more acclimated to
big
things
fumble,
now that he's
though.
Back.
Big fumble.
Big fumble. And DeJuan Harris, I mean, he's kind of the wild card here. How do all these guys fit together? I think that's still what they're trying to figure out.
Right, but does DeJuan have all the offense down for the Packers?
I think that's a question mark. I mean, right. He's been on the practice squad since late October, got the call up to the 53 a couple weeks ago, so he just has to kind of be more familiar, and pass protection's big, too. For the team to trust him, he's got to be able to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Let's talk about the dance move that everybody is talking about, Clay Matthews. Now, we're going to take a look at this move after a sack. And what do you call this? I mean, I didn't even know this guy even had this in his repertoire. Let's see. I mean, the Claymaker, of course, big game, two sacks. Look at it. Throws Jay Cutler down. He loves playing against Jay Cutler. Now, check this out. I mean, that's what I call bringing it at the club.
Yeah, exactly. I think there was... Somebody tweeted at me about this play and said, well, no females better watch this. They might get pregnant just watching that thing. It was pretty risque. I don't know what it was. I guess a wrestler used to do it, like, back in 1990, 91. Beyond me. I was, you know, 3-4 years old then. Maybe you should tell me.
All right. Tyler Dunn bringing it strong on Inside Lambeau. Thank you for watching. We will be back next week. I want to see you.